Hey guys, welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about work, we talk about what work is doing to people. Because the truth is, a lot of people are exhausted in ways that sleep can't touch. People are walking around burnt out, disconnected, resentful, overstimulated, overworked, underinspired. And somewhere along the way, modern work culture convinced people that constant exhaustion was the proof that they're doing life right. Hustle harder, this hustle culture. I'm excited for this conversation. Push more, optimize everything, perform constantly. Meanwhile, people are just quietly losing themselves. And motivation, that's not saving anybody because eventually discipline, integrity, purpose, and emotional honesty matter way more than the hype. God did not create people to spend their entire lives emotionally drained and disconnected from the meaning. So today we're going to talk about the burnout. We're going to talk about the hustle culture and resentment and integrity and modern work psychology, how people reclaim ownership over their lives again. Today's guest is Tony Tenaglier, host of Work Sucks, But I Like It. He's a manufacturing leader, an author, and someone challenging the myths people have been sold about work and motivation and success. Tony, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat today. When did you first realize that a lot of burnout wasn't weakness? It's just people trapped inside a broken system. Is the system broken or is it fixed exactly how it's meant to be? I don't know.
Well, no, thanks, Brandon, for having me in the
Yeah.
hot seat today to talk
Yeah,
about
yeah.
this. So I have to say that, the podcast originated from me burning out.
Yeah.
Let's get real here. So, in high school, I was sort of groomed by society to, I had to go to college, get a degree, get a job, get married, right? So here I am, going off to college, and I'm thinking, all right, let's go win at life here. And, I get my degree. And I said to myself, oh, well, 2009 was kind of a crappy year, as we know, with the collapse of things economic wise. And I decided to stay in school and I dropped out of grad school. And so I said, okay, well, not to, whatever. I learned from that. I didn't want to pursue a master's in material science engineering. I got my undergrad in that. So I went to, find a job. And through the process of like thinking of like, okay, I felt like I had lost ground. Right, dropping out of grad school, I was actually labeled a failure. And I said to myself, okay, well, let me, make up that ground and let me climb the corporate ladder. Right. And so I said to myself, okay, well, let's work hard, if you will, and climb this corporate ladder. And in the process of doing so, I ended up getting fired. And then when I was in Ohio, trying to figure out my life, if you will, I ended up breaking up with the woman that I was, going out with at the time. So my life was sort of in sort of, I don't call it shambles. And so, burnout is, I guess for me, my perspective on burnout is just that, it's like you're told to get these things. And I kept striving like a hamster on a wheel almost. And it was like I got some of them and I didn't. And I'm not saying those are bad things, right? By no means am I saying don't get married, don't get a degree, don't get a job. I was just trying to figure out how to fit into my life. And I think really what it's taken over the past so many years now and still continuing my journey is really looking at the number, the meaning of value. And what do I mean by that? So value has two meanings. One is what something is worth, and that's something that we think of all the time when we say something of value, like how your car you drive, the house you have, the salary you make. But really what I've been resonating more with to stay clear of burning out is really, if you type the word value into Google, it's going to tell you more or less the standards for which you're to live your life. And so now that I've been trying to find those standards, I feel like I can stay away from burning out, if you will.
Yeah. No, I see that. And I've had so many conversations, Tony, on this show of people that did all the things right. They climbed the corporate ladders, they did what they were supposed to do, and they felt more empty than they ever had. It was like the worst time in their life. And I think you're right, because it's great to have things, right? Like we want the house, we want a roof over our heads, we want the cars, we want the things, but there is a limit to what we would do to have the things and skip fulfilling ourselves, right? Like
I think
there's,
there's a lot of confusion today. It's funny, Brandon, I was looking at my bookshelf. I got a lot of books behind me and next
I
to me while I
see
was waiting
that.
for this call. And this book title called Careergasm came up in my periphery. And I was just thinking about it before getting on on the show here. And it's like, I think we've confused this idea of pleasure versus happiness, right? And there's sort of a distinction. It's kind of subtle, if you will. But pleasure is like, I guess, an orgasm, if you will. And I think of like pleasure also, and you get a pair of brand new shoes, right? And they feel great. And you're walking around, for months, and they feel great. But after a year, they wear out, right? So that's not really what we're looking for. Happiness is this sort of sustained, okay, I love these values that I have in my life, right? And I think that's what kind of jobs do today is they're very transactional, because it's easier to say, okay, I sold so many shoes. I sold so many, whatever, keeping with the sex theme here, whatever it is, like, condoms, whatever it may be. But it's harder to find the conversations and to, I guess I'll say, take credit in a corporate setting of, okay, what do you value, Brandon, with, oh, you like podcasting, right? You love getting tattoos. I like tattoos too, And I think that's what's missing today and causing us to burn out, because we're valuing sort of these, not say wrong things, but we're not including in the conversation these other things that make up people.
No, I think that's spot on. In my sarcastic little remark in my intro, when I'm talking about kind of what the system has pushed us into, people could say the system is broken, but I think it's working exactly how it's meant to work. And that, I homeschool because I'm not a fan of the robotic school. We just push kids through. I mean, my kids play rec ball, and they're playing rec ball with kids that don't even know how to read right now. And I'm just like, how is this like real life? You know what I'm saying? And the system,
Scary.
it's that same thing. Like, they kind of dangle all the things in front of you when it's time to pick a career. Even myself, I got my GED when I was 15 after I emancipated, and I'm going into college, and they're just like, you want to find like a high paying job. So I'm like, ooh, psychology, they make a lot of money, right? So I'm going to school forever to get this degree that, first of all, I've never used it. Okay. Like, for
Think you are. I think you are. Psychology, human
I'll give it
relations.
that. I'll
I
give it
gotcha.
that. But, it's just like you kind of are pushed into this idea of what we're supposed to have, and then you have social media and everything else that's just kind of pushing, right? Like, success is the big fancy car, success is all the girls, success is the brand new house. Like, these are all the measures of success. And I think just you're right about that happiness. Happiness can't be marketed. Nobody's gonna sell you on the boring side of life of like, I do so many boring things in my life right now that are the greatest serving for my potential, but no one ever stopped to be like, hey, what would you love to do? What would you love to do? Because that's where I see the trade-off. Like, I podcast, and if I wasn't a homeschool mom with a schedule, I would podcast like 20 hours a day. I love it so much. But
Love that.
there's no burnout, right? Because I love this. It's not like I'm going to a corporate dead-end job where everybody's just like soulless and it's dog eat dog. And if I don't sell out my friends, I'm not getting a raise, and whatever it looks like. But like, I see these people, and it's the conversation I've had on the show so many times, Tony, where they just realize like, I'm not supposed to be working in the space. And these guys come out and they end up being incredible life coaches. They end up, like all the things they're doing. So I just think, my gosh, there's so many capable people just emotionally exhausted right now, stuck in what they thought, was asked of them, the
And I guess
system.
that's where I'm sort of stuck, and you made a great point, right? I've had people on my show as well, and they say, well, corporate sucks. I'm going to leave and go start a business. And it's like I get two people on the show. One is the 9-to-5 person, and one is sort of the entrepreneur. And I don't think one is better than the other. I
No.
think that's something that I've been trying to figure out as well. I hear you, though, for sure. People
Yeah.
want to quit corporate, they do their own thing, but there's headaches to both sides,
Oh,
right? And I
yeah.
think the work can suck, for either thing that you do, right?
Yeah.
So.
No, I do think that's very true. And I mean, you have to love what you do on some level, though. There has to be some level of that. And not for everything, because discipline matters, right? Like, I'm on a big calorie deficit. I'm on a weight loss journey. I don't love eating the same shit every day. I don't love that. It's not my favorite. I don't love working out every day. I'm not that person. A lot of things I do, I just don't love, but it serves me so I'm better and I can show up. And sometimes I guess a job can be compared to that, but you have to find that perspective of like, why am I walking in this building? Why am I walking in the building? What do
Yeah,
you
no, I
think
love
is
that
the,
example too
yeah.
that you have, right? It does suck to go on the diet. It does suck to work out and get up at 5 a.m. I remember when I was running marathons before COVID, and my weekends would consist, not every weekend, but I had my goal was to be able to run a marathon. I wanted to run 4 weekends where I did a 20-mile run on Saturday and a 10-mile run on Sunday. It sucked. Like I'm not gonna lie, like that shit sucked
It
because my
sucks.
weekend was shot. I was
Yeah.
completely dead. I'd be napping the whole weekend. But I'll tell you what, that race day, I was ready. And I
Pumped.
could run and cross the finish line standing up. So I love how you nailed that. It's like we overlook, I think a lot of self-help today is like, do 5 steps, you're gonna cross the finish line in 5 steps. It's like, no, wait a minute. There's 26.2
Oh,
miles to
yeah.
do. Some are gonna suck. Some are going to be good, right? There's no shortcuts. And I think that's sort of like misleading today of all, I'm not going to say all self-help, but
A
it's like,
lot.
because I love self-help, but it's like, it's telling you about shortcuts. And to me, there is no shortcut, right? Yes, you can be efficient, right? I'm an engineer in an aerospace manufacturing company, and I understand efficiency in systems and they certainly, right? Be efficient. But like, I don't know. Like, there's no shortcuts in life, I guess is what I'm getting at. You have to work hard.
That's
You
the
have to work
point. There
hard.
are no shortcuts, and I think that's where the industry kind of can get toxic because that's how people are making their money by telling you, "Hey, Tony, I have a 3-step program and it's going to put you years in advance of everybody else. I know this new thing that's coming out. We're going to launch you, light years ahead of everybody else." And that's my biggest message, and that's why I try to keep the show as real as possible because I want successful ass people to come in here and remind my people that it didn't just happen overnight. That they got their ass kicked doing this. And sometimes in the ass kicking, they had a revelation and they were like, "Oh, wow, this isn't even for me." And then they go and they do something else. I love that. Or they make the best of where they're at. But the point is, they work their ass off for it. There was no magic wand that waved and boom, Tony had a podcast. Like, that just
Exactly.
doesn't happen.
So I'm very curious, Brandon, how did you come up with the podcast title? Tell me why you're special.
I would. It was a huge God moment for me. I've had Listen Bitch. I've had the podcast for like 3 years, and God just kept pressing to do an interview show. And I know my listeners are tired of hearing it. They're like, "Yeah, she didn't want to do it, okay, Tony?" Like, yeah, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do an interview show. I didn't think I'd be good. I didn't think I could, handle different people, different perspectives, because I'm very stubborn, and I'm very set in my beliefs and my values. And I thought, there's no way I could have a show with people that are going to be so different than me. And God's like, "Yeah, you're going to have a show like that." And so here I am. And it really was just like that. What does make people special, right? Of all the conversations I've ever had in my life of people that I met, like, yeah, George thinks he's special because he runs, a Fortune 500 company or whatever he does. Like, that's cool. That's very cool. But what he does in his off time, where, he's going around and he's feeding homeless people and he's helping teens find jobs, they whatever. It's like people think that I used to think, the success and the accolades, the things that really would make me had to be things that other people approved of, right? Like,
Okay, yeah.
and really what makes you special is what you're doing between the lines. It's you giving people a
Because I'm
platform
not
to
gonna
talk
lie, when I
about.
first saw your show, I first
It's
loved it, right?
off-putting,
Plus,
right?
but I liked it though, right? I mean, it kind of was like my work sucks, but I like it podcast too. It's like, wait, what? But I'd like kind of your sort of, I don't know. I appreciate you giving me that background because when I first read it, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be like trying to, why are you special? Right? What makes you
Ooh.
so special kind of
Yeah.
thing. Right. But then
Right.
on the other side, it's from what I'm hearing, it's like, no, tell me genuinely why you're special because we
Yeah.
don't hear that enough.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot
But
of
I,
people really don't know. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying? Like, they still
right.
come on the show and they sit across from me and they think it's the title. They think it's the
Right.
document they got for graduation. What is that called? Whatever that's called. Never
Yeah,
had
that
one, so I wouldn't
certificate,
know.
right,
The
the degree, the
certificate.
diploma, right. Now I'm with you, right?
Yes.
That piece of paper. It's a piece of
We
paper.
think that's the
It's
thing,
like,
or they hit $1 million in their bank account. Like, all that stuff is cool, and I'll never take away from like the hard earned success. But the truth is, like, most of these people are out here helping people because they're telling their stories and they're being vulnerable. And what my whole purpose, like, I just want people to step into their potential. I want us to connect on a human level to where we understand, like, we're not alone, for one. There's a lot of people that can relate to a story that I could tell. There's a story that they're sitting on that people could relate to, and they're keeping it to themselves. And that's my frustration, is there's so much untapped potential because people are just in their own stuff. And if everybody realized like their mess, That's the whole message. You know, whatever it is that you're
Love it.
embarrassed of, like the shit that kicked your ass, that's what I want to talk about. The time you were completely knocked down and you got back up, that's what I care about. That's what makes you special. That guy that got the Fortune 500 company, you know how many times he filed bankruptcy in 30 years? Like, let's talk about that, 'cause wow. You know,
I
that's the
agree.
shit. Like, he's at rock bottom and he built himself back up. And that's the core of the show of like, we're all in the arena. We're getting our ass kicked because there is no shortcut. Like Tony said, there's no shortcut. We're getting our ass kicked.
I
I
love
love
that.
you're definitely a podcast host because you just flipped. I just totally became the guest
No,
here.
it's all, this is a conversation. This is
Hell
what I
yeah.
love about podcasting. No,
Yeah.
this is totally awesome. But I just want to say, I love how you started the episode today of like not asking, what do you do? Right.
Yeah.
You asked sort of a, you put me into the context, okay, what the hell is burnout and all this? And I think
Right.
I try to dance around and find an answer through that. But
Yeah.
like, I like that, right? Because I find that it's very limiting when if I come up to you and say, oh, what do you do? And you're like, oh, I'm a podcast host. And I'm like, okay, well, that's like part of who you are, right? But it's like, I don't know, that it's such a challenging thing to overcome. I hate that question so much. And if you asked it, I still would have answered it. But I think that's like what's feeding into this like misleading sort of idea of success, because we want to answer this, I'm a business owner, I'm a whatever, right? I got my PhD. Like, you know, it's just like, okay, but who are you? Right. That's kind of the question. I'm not going to ask like, who are you? That's like philosophical. Like, what the hell am I going to say to that? Right. But no, I think your psychology background really kind of prepped you to do this, right? I mean, even though you
Maybe.
didn't think you were going to use it, but here you are using
Kind
it.
of,
Right?
yeah.
Yeah, no,
We'll say
that's
kind of,
awesome.
yeah. No, I think it's awesome, and I think that, you know, just getting to know what people have gone through. That's what my audience is going to resonate with. That's what they followed me for 3 years now, for my main show, for Listen Bitch, the Listen Bitch podcast. Like that's what they've been there for, is that message of what's possible. Like I'm a nobody, dude. You know, you ask me who I am, I'm not
Me
going to have a
too.
whole list of titles for
Yeah.
you, but I do get messages a lot that I help someone move the needle in their life, that the one conversation I had just changed how they really thought about shit. That's what I'm racking up. You know, that's my accolade. That's my like pat on the back, my confirmation I'm doing it right. That's what I do it for. I don't, you know, I don't need to go viral. I don't need like the crazy attention. I don't need Joe Rogan status, right? I don't even think I would like that. I don't think I would be happy. To be honest, with the
But
pressure
what's
that,
interesting about this idea of going viral, right? It sounds like a good thing, but a viral is a virus, right?
yeah, it's
It's like
terrible.
a
Yeah,
negative thing. But no, I love what you're doing with the. I think that's why I love podcasting so much, is because you can hear people's stories, right?
yeah.
Everything is so polished online, especially on LinkedIn, right? It's like,
Ugh.
oh, I got my this and that, da da da. But it's like the podcast is like, oh, I fucked up that word. Oh, I forgot what I
Yes.
was saying. Oh, this person's human. Oh my God, I
Yeah.
can relate. You know, like, I
That's
think
exactly
that's a
it.
beautiful thing.
And I mean the hustle culture, if we're going to talk about that, 'cause the
Ugh.
hustle culture is so full of shit. And when you follow these
Yes.
people, it's their Instagram is like this perfect curated page. And what I've learned, I was very blessed to get to work with really high income earning women for a very long time. I got to coach them in a personal space, and I couldn't even dream of the kind of money they had. Right? So first of all, I'm like, how do I get to work with these people? And they were the most depressed, unhappy women I've ever met in my life. But if you looked at their social
Surprise me.
media, if you looked at their social media, perfect marriage, perfect house, lots of cars. I mean, they were high ranking in their companies, bank account that I've dreamed of, literally.
Yep.
But they were, I mean, I'm talking suicidal. Like they were so lost. And it wasn't just one conversation or two conversations. It was like every single one of them,
That was a
every
pattern.
single one of my clients. I was like, wow, this is wrong. But their Instagram, so I see through the bullshit now. Like I've seen behind the curtain. I know the truth. When I see a very curated page, I see a broken ass person. And I
I
think
love
that
that.
sucks. It sucks because they can't be real. They can't
Right.
show us their mess and they can't be relatable. But then I see the people following them and aspiring, especially young kids, and I'm like, that's not it. I know they have to learn the hard way. It's not like I could save everybody from their mess, right? We can't save everybody from their mess, but shit, I see through it. Your page looks perfect, and you're probably the last person that would be able to sit on my show. You know, there's no way. Like we need the mess. That's what makes us relatable. That's what makes it possible.
Absolutely. Well,
So.
it taps into what you're talking, alluding to with this idea of authenticity, right? And people can't sit with themselves today. I mean, let's face it, people are on their phones.
All
You
the
know, they literally
time.
cannot sit with themselves. They're on
Yeah.
their fucking phone looking at how many likes and subscribers and all this stuff. It's like people will ask me, they're like, you know, Tony, how do you do all these things? And I'm like, I just think to myself, I don't try to be busy, right? I'm not trying to like, yes, I'm going after my PhD and I'm working on books. And I don't say that like, oh, look at me. Like, I'm trying to literally figure out life because I don't know what I'm doing on this floating rock in space, right? Like, I literally am just trying to figure it out. But I attribute, I guess, if you will, the things that I do in my day is because I'm very disciplined with my phone use. I'm very, if I want to get something done, I'm going to focus on that. If I'm going to spend time with my girlfriend or my friends, I actually put it in my calendar because the problem is we have this thing called paradox of choice, as you probably have heard and your listeners. There's all these choices to make, but we're frozen by the act of choosing sometimes. And that's insane because there's so many great things we could be doing, but we don't even know where to choose our next thing. So that's why I love my calendar. I just say, okay, I'm spending time with friends today. I'm doing the podcast, you know, and this podcast today, or whatever it may be. That allows my brain to just be in it. And I think we just got to get back to this idea of simpler living, I feel, right? Instead of look at my house and my cars and my perfect family. And yes, there's a time to celebrate family and your car and all these things, but don't make that the centerpiece like you're getting at, right? Talk about the shit on your page of like, oh my God, the kids just, you know, whatever, threw their food all over the place. Well, you know, fun evening, we're cleaning up. But we don't want to do that, right? Because that's not polished. It's not what people they think they want to see, right? They want to have this, it's entertainment, I guess is what I'm getting at. And we think that entertainment has to entertain us. So it has to be, I don't know.
No, I mean you're spot on, and just like the idea of entertainment goes back to my whole issue with being viral, the virus that is, it's everything on my phone that really made me question everything. I didn't want to do this show because I just was too hyper focused on humanity and the fact that, you know, I'm trying to build Listen Bitch. This is like a year ago. Trying to build up my podcast and take it serious and like, you know, move it somewhere. And so I'm posting stuff that can help people, that could change lives. And I'm like, I'm shadow banned. I'm in Facebook jail. I'm in TikTok jail again. Like I'm constantly getting put in these things, and then I see shit that goes viral, and I'm like, this bitch is eating strawberries, and it's got 2.4 million views and like a bazillion shares. So
Crazy.
I and it's all of that. It's everything I would see that would go viral or that kids would be talking about. Or can you hear my dogs back there?
Yeah, I love it. It's all
They're going
good.
crazy.
I love it.
It is, you know, all the things that went viral. I really grossed. I just took that perspective really hard, and I was like, I'm just disgusted. I'm tired of people. I'm tired of the fact that we're encouraging this.
I
Like
know, I
they're
know.
keeping this in the algorithm because we're encouraging. I was just so disgusted. That's part of my argument of like, I don't want a guest show because I can't do people anymore. Like I'm just so grossed out on humanity right now.
Interesting,
And it's
interesting.
incredible because now I have these conversations. I'm like, oh, there's
There are
still
some
real
good people,
people. There's
right?
some, I, every person that has sat in the hot seat, I am just like, it's a gift. Every
It's
conversation
awesome.
I get to have, I'm like, this is so cool. So now I know, like, there's a whole world that exists outside of what is popular in social media. And I think that's not the way to go, but that's part of the hustle culture, right?
Yeah.
Is to be
So,
seen.
yeah, absolutely. So I had an incident. So I'm no longer on Facebook and I just have Instagram and I barely even go on that. I'm on LinkedIn, if anything. And so I'm not even going to say who it was, but anyways, there was someone, we were going to run a marathon and this person and I, you know, agreed to it, you know, and said, oh, that'd be great to meet up. Let's run this marathon. And so this person posted online, I'm going to run the marathon. I'm going to, you know, do this and, you know, posted some trainings the first week. I didn't post shit because I'm like, I don't want anyone to see me. I'm like dying, running around. It's like
That
a
would be
mess,
me.
you know?
Like, you don't want to see
Take,
it.
yeah, taking my inhaler left and right. I got asthma. I'm like, whatever. So, kid you not, okay? The first week or the week before the race, this person messages me and says, oh, I never did the training. I can't run the marathon. And I'm sitting there like, Are you kidding me? You did for weeks and
Oh.
months of posting online, building up this hype, getting these likes, and it wasn't viral, right? But my
Yeah.
point is, like, I learned that there was something to be said about this idea of authenticity, right, when you're online. And I've heard the counter argument of like, well, I'm very authentic online. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know. Like, if you're sitting there and editing, are you really authentic? I don't know. I don't know what that answer is, right? I mean, I like these raw conversations sometimes. It's like, oh yeah, Tony like fucked up his words and he didn't even sound right. Like,
Yeah.
okay, that's fine. Like, that's cool. Like, he's a human being. He's not a robot. He's not AI.
Exactly. Well, I think
So,
that's the importance of podcasting too,
yeah.
is that it you can't script a podcast
No,
conversation. You can't do
absolutely
it. I
not.
mean, people try. I'm very surprised at how many people, especially on Podmatch, will try to send me questions, a list of questions to ask, or
Okay, yeah.
just be like, "Can we meet up first so we can kind of zero in?" I'm like, "Nope, the first time I meet you is going to be on the camera and I'm clicking record immediately. Like,
Love
this
it.
is our
That's how I
first
roll
interact."
too.
Yeah, it's,
Yep.
I don't want the curated stuff. I want to see. I've had one interview that ended and the guy was like, "Don't post this." One out of all the
Wow.
shows I've done like a
Did
lot
he
of
sign? Did
interviews.
this person sign the like contract? Did you post it or no?
Oh, hell no, I didn't post it. It was
Oh,
terrible.
okay.
I was a
Oh,
terrible. Yeah, it was terrible.
I've. Oh,
I
okay.
was t It was my biggest hosting mistake ever. I still carry
Wow.
shame. It was terrible, and I totally like took away his power. It was awful. I was an awful host, and it came out bad. He's like, "You cannot post this." I'm like, "I agree. You're right."
Okay. Well, learning experience,
Yeah, it was
we
a
all go
great
through
learning.
it.
It was a
Yeah.
great learning experience. Heartbreaking, because of course I don't want to hurt people's feelings, right? Like, that's
Sure.
never my intention, but I sideways did, but it was a big lesson. So it is just that. Especially with AI, like I can't even watch videos anymore. My kids will send me stuff, and I have four older kids sending me stuff on Instagram. And I'm like, you know, that's AI, right? Like, that didn't really happen. And so it's just that same thing. Like, I see people's posts and it's all AI. I see people's comments, they're using AI. And I think podcasting is everything because you cannot AI this. Like, you cannot AI
100%
this, no
agree.
matter how hard you try. And people would see through the bullshit of a scripted conversation,
They hear
hands
it.
down.
They can
Yeah.
hear it. People have a bullshit detector, even though they don't think
Oh,
they do.
yeah.
They might not be able to articulate it in their mind, but there's this weird feeling of, wait a minute, that didn't
This
sound
is,
right.
yeah,
Right?
this doesn't
Something's
fit.
off.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, tell me about your podcast. So you're at your job. You're in it. You're in the arena. You're like, "This sucks. I'm going to talk about it."
Yeah, I mean, it comes down again, as I mentioned, I tried to follow the traditional song and dance as
Yeah.
I kind of frame it in my first book here. And I guess the podcast, funny enough, so we're May of 2026 now as we're recording this. And last year, around probably this time in the spring, I live in New Hampshire here in the United States. So my girlfriend and I were driving somewhere and she's like, listen, let's listen to this podcast. I'm like, what the hell's a podcast? I don't even know what a podcast is,
That's
right?
great.
And I'm like, okay, let's listen to it. We got sick of the books and the music. We were traveling somewhere far. And so I listened to this podcast. I said, man, I really loved this sort of like dynamic, this conversation. It was sort of raw. The person was kind of like umming and ahhing. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like I actually kind of like it, And she goes, well, why don't you start your own podcast? I said, oh, okay. So July of 2025, Work Sucks, But I Like It is born. And I think it really came from my sort of frustrations, my learning, experiences as they still come to me every day of just like the workplace, right? We're kind of talking a little bit about it, like asking people what you do instead of like, or what do you do instead of like, who are you? like simple things like that. And my frustration around work is just that. It's very transactional. And I like to bring people on the show and ask them a specific question, well, a few of them. But one of them is, what sucks about your work, but what are you doing to make it not suck, right? So I want to embrace the suck, because there are parts and people will come in and tell me, oh, I never work a day in my life because I love my job. And I'm like, okay, I like all that flowery stuff sometimes, but let's be real, right? Like
Yeah.
it's, late at night and you're thinking, fuck, like how do I write this thing for tomorrow? Like that's the part I want to hear, right? Not that, oh, I woke up the next day and I had this brilliant idea and I wrote it out and I got the big check from the company. It's like, no, where was the part that sucked?
I love
Right?
that.
And I just want a platform for people to embrace that because we don't. right? I hear it in subtle ways of, oh, I can't wait till the weekend, you know, and oh, same shit, different day, or, you know, I can't wait till I retire. It's like, well, wait a minute. No, let's live now. Let's embrace what sucks and let's make it not suck.
No, I very much love that. And I think, you
Yeah,
know,
I'd love to have you on my show. So
yeah, please, I have a lot of things I could talk about this talk. Like
love
number
to,
one,
please.
you know what I hate the most about the show is posting it. Like
You and me both. Yes, I hate that
fifth
shit.
interview
I did.
today. Fifth interview today, and I see them all lined up in the corner of my screen. And I'm gonna have to go in and put everybody's name. I'm gonna have to come up with the SEO tag words. I have to write the caption. Like, it sucks. You know, and y'all, I don't get paid for this. You know what I'm saying? Like, there isn't there. It's not like I'm clocking in somewhere and I get paid by the hour for posting it. So, yeah, that sucks. There's a suck in everything, but it is
There
about
is.
embracing it. And then what's the outcome, right? Like, talking about my lifestyle fucking sucks. I eat the same stuff every single day, do the same thing every. That's not cool. But you know what was cool is I jumped on the scale again today and I'm like another 4 pounds down. So,
That's awesome.
suck
That's
this bitch,
awesome.
right? Like, I'm
Yeah,
excited about
that's
that.
awesome.
There's an outcome sometimes for the suck. You know, my husband's job sucks a lot. He's providing, there's six of us that still live here. You know, like, does it suck sometimes? Yeah, but is it a great job for him? Yeah. You know, sometimes he likes what he does. Sometimes, you know, he's proud of his work, but that's the whole point. There's something on the other side of that for him. And what is,
But
like, tell me about your job. Tell me about the suck at your job. What is the suckiest part of your job?
I think it's like, you know, without saying names, of course, right? I think
Yeah.
it's just kind of the office politics, if you will. I mean, we're creatures of emotions, right? I mean, we're human beings. We have good days, we have bad days. And in the manufacturing world and aerospace, we have a lot of, as you could imagine, we're making parts that go into planes. We have a lot of requirements, right, that we have to hit to make these widgets, things that, you know, go to the planes. And so I guess like what really sucks is just trying to remind people that we're human and we're going to make mistakes. And it's not about blaming, you know, people and people taking offense at a personal level. And I guess it's just that's why I love psychology, right? Because I can understand why people might be like, well, I didn't do it. Well, you signed off on the traveler and it says your name. I'm not here to blame you. I'm here to ask what can we do differently next time. And I think they've been so like, you know, beaten down over these years of working where they've had other managers, I'm a manager, to come in and just be like, what the hell do you do? Like the parts are scrapped now. Like what the fuck happened? Like, you know, it's like, okay, well, people don't want to respond to that. Could you imagine yelling at your kids like that? Like the kids are gonna be like, what are you doing?
Please, I
Like,
actually do. So, no.
oh, fair. Sorry, I don't mean to. Yeah, well,
No.
sometimes it's a time and place, right? Sure. I mean, I get you got to lay the law down too, right? Got to lay the law down. But then there's moments to learn, right? And I think that like that's what sucks is just kind of navigating the sort of personal interpersonal things, you know, throughout the day. Because my job on paper is relatively simple, and I describe it as say what you do, do what you say. There's procedures that tell us what to do from the customer. And we do that, and then we audit that, you know, do what you say after we write it down. So in essence, on, you know, I'm looking at the black and white of it, it's very simple, right? I say I'm going to make this widget to these specs, I make the widget to these specs. But obviously the complexity, the sucky part is how do I navigate 50, 60 plus people to be all on the same page to do this one thing, right? That's kind of the suck, but also the enjoyment too, right?
I mean, that's kind of a high pressure
Yeah.
environment. And I feel like, you know, my husband is a welder and they do a lot of
Oh, right
like
on.
army contracts
Yeah.
and, you know, things that they work on. So there is high pressure from clients. And then you turn around and he was a manager and that sucks so hard for him that he was like, yeah, F you guys, take your raise and your title back, because these, you know, because getting people to be on the same page, you know, to care about their job enough to get in the appropriate welds. And it's like everybody just kind of pushes everything onto the next person, you know, like that's their problem now. They, you know, half-ass their job. But in that high pressure environment, I mean, what have you seen separate people that really sustain and, you know, with your employees like doing the work and people that just are like on the verge of crashing? Do they ever feel that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it, you know, my psych, I'm going to go back to my psychology background, right? I really look at people as just who they are in that given moment, right? Some days they're going to have shit days, some days they're going to have good days. And it's just really understanding where they're at. And I kind of look at it as like a game in a sense, not that I'm like, manipulating them, but a game in terms of making these widgets. We have a sort of like highway that we have to get on each day. And some people want to get on it, some people want to get off of it, some people are falling asleep at the wheel, right? It's like they're going to speed limit, they're not going to speed limit. And I think like just, what makes people successful, I think, is when you embrace more of the small talk, excuse me, with people on the floor. Like not just asking, oh, how many widgets did you make today? Oh, I made five. Okay, that's great. You hit your quota or whatever. But how are the kids? How is whatever? You start to learn something about them and you become genuinely interested, right? When I was an engineer, I was, I guess I was relatively good. I was still getting paid. I had a job. And, but I realized when I became a manager, those skills of being an engineer don't translate over to being a manager. And I see that a lot today. And I don't know what it requires, right? Everyone has a different path. To me, I've always loved academics. I go the route of academia to kind of study the rigorous, ways of things. But I think just being genuinely interested in people is what's going to make the difference with someone being successful or them burning out, to be honest with you.
No, I see that, and it's easy to tell, I think, in industries that have high turnover. High
Yes.
turnover is a tell. It's a tell that management is dropping the ball.
Right.
No matter what they're telling themselves, it's not the workers. It is
Exactly.
that.
They're driven by the numbers and they're not looking at the people, but the people are not that they're number, but they're part of the numbers, right? So I agree. I agree. The people make the parts is what I like to remind the team, because there's this interesting divide, right? And I don't know if your husband has seen it with the welders and in the field versus the office people. I get the
For
same thing
sure.
in manufacturing. Yeah, absolutely. It's everywhere, I guess, And it's like they look at me like, oh, you've like made it. I'm like, no, I haven't made it anywhere. If anything, I'm working harder to keep you there, right? Within my sort of like rules that I have to play by, right? And I think that's another thing that kind of sucks too sometimes because I don't own the company. I own enough of certain processes that I can sort of man not manipulate, but like,
Navigate.
just kind of like, build it so they can thrive in these systems, right? That's kind of how I look at it. But yeah.
No, I mean I think there is, and it's not just my husband's job, 'cause he would die if he's listening to this right now, 'cause it's, a bunch of engineers in the office and they
Oh.
have zero people skills. They will not be caught dead on that floor, and they send out like this is the great part, right? We've got some blue collar welders. We've got rough dudes down here in the heat, like creating parts every single day, 10 hours a day, 5 days a week. This guy sends out a flyer. It's a newsletter they just created for the company to boost morale of this guy with his beautiful wedding and, with his beautiful beach house in the background and a car and a little dog on the side to a bunch of blue collar guys that he's never even shook hands with. Like, that's going to boost
Wow.
their morale.
Right.
They're raging pissed. They're like,
Yeah.
what the
Blame them.
fuck is
Yeah.
this?
I don't blame them.
They want to burn the newsletter, and I'm like, you guys know who works for you, right? But they don't. They have no idea who's working for them, and they know nothing about these guys, and they haven't, clearly, for the past few years, no desire. And that's, the point when my husband became a lead and took on all this responsibility. Like, he was that for them, but then he had nowhere else to go. Like he didn't really have that support because it's just the floor in the office, very separate. Very segregated,
Yeah, I've also
basically.
noticed too, like, no, I love that. And thanks for sharing that. Like, it, because people will ask me, do I quit my job? And that's not an easy answer, right? I'm not
No.
saying you're going to quit your job because it sucks. There's elements that you just have to like deal with. But the way I like to kind of come back to that question, if listeners are like frustrated with their work and like, well, what do I do, right? Do I become a manager or not or whatever? Is think I like sports. So I like to think of I like soccer too or football. But you have Real Madrid and Barcelona, right? And they're in La Liga, the Spanish league. And basically they're rivals, right? I don't say they hate each other, but they're rivals, right? They want to beat each other every time. And if you look at the philosophies and how they're the style of play, they're different. And so my point is this, right? So if you're in a company, you got to ask yourself, am I playing for the right team? Right? Are my values in line with the company values? Am I playing for Barcelona or am I playing for Real Madrid? Both are doing soccer. They're doing the work of soccer. They're playing the game of soccer. But like they've got it coming from two different ways. And I've had to learn, I'm not going to say that, bigger companies are better than smaller, but I will say from my experience, because I've worked at both, is that I do value a smaller company because it's easier to, maintain relationships with people. As
Absolutely.
opposed to a bigger company where there might be more turnover and more things going on, and you only have so much time in the day, right? But again, I'm not saying for you to go out and quit big companies. I'm just saying that in
Right.
my experience, I find that it's been easier for me to sort of like be more of a team player, if you will, at a smaller company.
Yeah. No, that I mean that makes total sense. What is because you can embrace the suck, but you can also love where you're at. So what's the best thing about your job?
Yeah, I think, the best thing about my work is the fact that I get to design systems, right? And so as a quality manager with my hat on during my day job, if you will,
Yeah.
my 9 to 5, I like this idea of creating sort of like pathways for people to, again, I think of them as thriving. I really see people, I like the term self-actualization, right? The people have this potential, Maslow kind of described it, the psychologist of you, and you have an acorn. The acorn has a potential to become an oak tree. And I really believe that people stepping into the workplace can become not trees, but fully themselves, right? And who they
Exactly.
were sort of born to be, if you will. And so what I love about my work is that now I've gotten to a point in my, call it career, I hate that word, but in my sort of journey here is that I can create systems for people to level up if they want to. But I also try to create a system in which they can really go deep with where they're at, because I also don't believe that I got to climb the corporate ladder and I got to own the co and it's like, no, that's not for everybody. Like, no one wants to do that shit. They like doing what they're doing. Some of my favorite people that I love working with are the ones that have been doing their job for like 30 years. Like, I'm 38 years old. And I'm like, damn, you've been doing the same thing for 30 years and they love it.
They
You could
love
tell
it.
they love it.
Yep.
And that's who I like to work with, because it's like, okay, you guys love what you do. I like what I'm doing. Let's have fun and work together.
No, I very much agree with that. And I think there are people that love where they are, and that means their quality of life is going to be very different. They're, you know what I'm saying? Two people can
Absolutely.
work the same job position. One is going to want to off themselves, in a couple weeks. The other one is like, this is it for me. I'm the happiest. Like, that's the point. We're all different. What is your end game? What's your end goal here? Like, 5 years from now, are you still working at this job? You doing something else? You launching the podcast? You have a new book? What are you working on? Scary goals.
I mean, yeah, that's a good question, Brandon. I mean, it's funny because I get asked that, well, not that I'm interviewing now, but where you see yourself in 5 years. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know where I'm going to be next week, relatively
Yeah,
speaking,
fair.
right? So it's not that I'm like saying, okay, I'm not thinking long term. It's just that, I'm open to where life takes me, right? I didn't know that I was going to be back in New Hampshire when I moved to Ohio after I graduated from UConn. Where I went to school. I didn't know that I was going to leave a bigger company and go work at a smaller company 15 minutes away from my house, right? 2 years ago. So I guess, like, to me, to answer guess that question, in terms of like concrete things, I'll be finishing up my PhD in a year and a half, more or less. I've got, this is my 14th class out of 15 before my dissertation.
Nice.
But the way I like to think of long-term goals is really in terms of skills, right? And to me, yes, you could. I like the idea of, yes, getting your PhD or signing up for a marathon. You can check those things off. But more importantly, I ask myself, what are the skills that I'm learning? Like, I want the PhD because I want to understand flow, the concept of flow in the workplace today, and why people are burning out when you can put them into flow states, which is far from burning out, And then in terms of like, I guess for my goals, I like to think of in terms of the mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional, right? And in terms of physical goals, my girlfriend and I love to practice yoga. So we probably do it 3, 5 times a week. So
Nice.
keeping up with that,
Yeah.
in terms of spiritual goals, being a yogi, I resonate a lot with, sort of Indian philosophy. Emotional goals, I will attribute to my psychology kind of research there. And then mental goals, kind of the same thing, right? So the academic side, pursuing that, but
Yeah. I mean, that sounds fun. What is your,
Exactly. Right. You got to keep. There's
yeah.
good parts that suck. I just went through a stats course and it absolutely
Oh, you
sucked. I'll
lost
tell
me a
you,
stats. No,
statistics
that's
is,
never
I
good.
was like, fuck this class, but I got through it. So
Yeah. I think
it's
they do that
like,
just to see if they could push people to their breaking point. They just
oh
throw that in
man.
there, just to see how far they can push the human psyche. Like, how far
Yeah,
can we kind of
exactly. Well,
push?
this class was number 13, and I feel like they picked that for a reason.
Yeah,
The
that makes
13th
sense.
class in this program. I'm like, you guys, oh man.
They
All
know what they're
right.
doing. That's so
Yeah,
funny.
I know.
Well, tell
Exactly.
my audience where they can find your show. Tell us about your books. How can they get resourced with you?
Yeah, I think the first thing, for listeners, tuning in is, I feel like, we all have goals, as you just kind of, were asking me, right? We all have the sense of what we want to achieve. But what I found is more important is where are you now, right? What do I mean by that? So I have a on my website, worksucksbutilikeit.com/quiz, there's a free quiz for people to take where it's really asking, where are you at in relationship to your work now? And to me, when you can understand where you are with respect to what I'm going to call the flow channel. So the psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi basically came up with this flow channel, picture an XY Cartesian plot here. And when you can get the sweet spot of balancing your challenge and skills and having clear goals and immediate feedback, you're going to do great work. So to me, listeners wanting to learn more, take that quiz to understand where you're at with respect to the flow channel. Because if you can understand that, first of all, if you don't know what flow is, tune right in, because that you definitely want to know what
Yeah,
flow
start
states are to bring
there.
it into your day. But if you're feeling burned out, you're going to know why, right? Maybe you don't have enough challenge in your day. Maybe you got to work on your skills, right? So the quiz is going to make you understand where you are at today so you can take that next step towards your goal. So worksucksbutilikeit.com/quiz. That's free.
Perfect. And your books and everything are on the website.
Yeah, if you want to explore more, in terms of like, your song and dance, if you will, I kind of talked a little bit about that. There's the first book, The Impression of a Good Life, Finding Your Song and Dance. Basically, really quick, it was me, as I mentioned earlier, getting a degree, getting a job, with the other one, I forget the other one, getting married,
Yeah.
and then not doing those things in my 20s, right? And feeling like a
Yeah.
failure. And so I had to redesign my life. So the book is about allowing readers to find their song and dance so they can really think about that number one meaning of value. And then the second book is, don't let life pass you by, win the game of work. Work and, man, that's terrible. I forget my own damn books here. But anyways, the second book is about finding a flow state, which I was not in flow right there. My head's all over the place now. But so the second book, in essence, is about understanding how to bring flow states into the workplace, especially in a corporate setting. The book
Yeah.
is, the backdrop is a corporate environment. So, but yeah, no.
Fabulous. This is the
Thank
part of
you.
the show, Tony, where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And
Love it.
it's not the degrees, the PhD, it's not that you talk about the work, it's that you are honest about what work is doing to people and you're challenging the culture that's telling people exhaustion is noble, burnout is normal, endless productivity equals worth. Instead of selling people the motivational bullshit, you're learning and engaging and reminding them that discipline, integrity, clarity, genuinely just a meaningful effort matter more than the fake hype ever will. I think you're an incredible grounding spot to kind of bring people back to reality and absolutely in being the catalyst to helping them be in this moment now. Because that's what we have. I think that's powerful. I think what you're doing is special, and I'm excited to check out your show because I'm sure it is just as amazing. To everyone listening, pay attention to what your life is costing you emotionally because success without peace, it's going to feel empty forever. And burnout isn't always about working too hard. Sometimes it's about living disconnected from meaning, from alignment, from purpose, from honesty, and God did not create people to become machines. He created us to create. He created us to serve and to lead and to build and to live with intention. So I'm saying just chase a little discipline, chase that radical honesty. Please remember that your mess is your message. Even the burnout, even the resentment, even the seasons where you feel trapped. That stuff is what becomes the wake-up call that can change your life. If this episode speaks to you, make sure you share this out so that Tony can reach the people he needs to reach with that. Make sure you go in and take his free quiz. See if you're willing to look in the mirror just a little bit and see where you're at. But definitely share the show. You guys help us get this out there. And if you're ready for the hot seat, I double dog dare you to come tell me why you're special. Tony, thank you so much for coming in. This was
Brandon,
fun.
thank you. I love it. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to be here.